Turn in your Bibles. I want to just speak about just the right time. God's timing is just so perfect. And my verse is Galatians. I'll try to hold this mic still. We're going to get a new microphone. We're just working with the right people. So, Galatians chapter 4, verse 4 says, "But when the fullness of time had come," say the fullness of time. "The set time had fully come. The right time had come. At just the right time." That's what it literally means. At God's perfect full time. The fullness of time. When time had come to completeness. At the right moment, God sent His Son. Born of a woman. Born under the law. And He goes on in that chapter. But I just want to use that as a springboard this morning to talk about God's wonderful, wonderful faithfulness. His timing is perfect. God is never late. He's never early. His timing is perfect. No matter where you are at in your story, where you're at in your testimony, where you're at in this year and what you're doing, God's timing is perfect. My testimony, if I would share one line, is that I feel God is speaking to me, and I trust it's going to be bigger than just for me. But I really believe this year coming is a year for the church to be the church without borders. You know, you've heard of Doctors Without Borders, doctors that are going into the hot spots, people who go in where others don't go. They don't have borders. They're willing to go. And just that thought came to my heart as God laid it on my heart that it's time for us as a church to be a church without borders. Not that we just scatter and run all over the earth. Not that we only just all have our own plans, but us together, what is it God wants us to do that's amazing and faith-stretching and challenging to us? Together. Every year at the beginning of the year, for the last 7 years that we've been here, I've talked about replanting our church. If we were starting today, if we started right today with the building, the people, the bank account, the leaders, what we have today, what would we do? What should we get rid of? What should we add? What should be our focus? And that's where we're at as we stand at the end of a year looking into a new year. I know God's not bound by calendars or anything else, but it is a good time for us to reflect on our lives and our hearts and our values. And as a church, what is it God wants us to do? So that's my testimony, is that I feel God wants to take us beyond our borders. It cannot just be about this. Amen? That's part of the reason we're going to tie up with the Pearl Church. And it's great to have Jim and Bonnie, right? I knew it. I just was afraid to say because I make so many mistakes. And then my wife gets after me. And Ryan, it's a hard life later on, I'll just tell you. We're going to join with the Pearl Church in the 28th. We're going to shut our service down. As I said last week announcing it, it's what does God want us to do in this city? What does God want us to do into Africa? Thank you for your support for the missionary family, for Jeremy and Teresa. And I trust that this will be a year teams go. Who knows what God will plant out of us and from us. But I'm believing God for an amazing year. So at just the right time, that theme has been burning in my heart, that God has perfect timing. God does things right. In the fullness of time, He moves. In the fullness of time, He answers. In the fullness of time, He sent His Son. When we could do nothing, when you're talking about us in Romans, it says, when we could do nothing, God saved us. At the right time, at the perfect time, He delivered us. He's a God of the right time. He's a God of doing things right. So I got about 5, 6, 10 points on that, and then we're finished. First of all, God's promises are true and sure. There's no use God's timing being perfect if we don't trust Him. His promises are true and sure. Romans, talking about Abraham, it's got to be one of the perfect verses. It says, he did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body. He's talking about Abraham. He's an old man, which was as good as dead. That encourages me. Abraham, when he was as good as dead. He wasn't one of these fake Christians. And I've preached this many times. I don't want to preach it this morning, but I am preaching it. So I'm preaching it. So it's okay. But, you know, you get guys, how are you doing? Oh, praise God, glorious. And the snot's running out of their nose and they're choking and no, man, you're sick. Just admit you're sick, but it's okay. God's faithful and He can heal. You know, I don't even want to quote things because I'll probably name stuff that people here have said. But just be real, man. Abraham, though he knew he's as good as dead, man, he didn't go around faking it. Well, I'm not 100 years old, acting like he's 40. He's 100 years old, but he trusted God. That's what I like. He put his faith in God. He didn't say everything's just peachy keen and wonderful, but he said the truth. He lived in the truth. And God is not afraid of truth. We don't have faith in faith. If you can just say it right and just get faith just right, perfect faith. We have faith in a big God. And oftentimes, and I don't want to preach that message again either, but we think when we got an answer to prayer, it's because we got what we wanted. Answer to prayer is that we got God. That God came into our circumstances. God is in our life. That we are walking in something. All these testimonies this morning, every one of them, was how God was working through and in lives. Fulfilling. Working. We trust Him. We believe Him. So the first thing is, like Abraham, let me finish reading. Since he was about 100 years old, or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb. Again, he's not faking it. It's not like, she's an old woman. I'm an old man. No unbelief made him waver concerning the promise of God. But he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God, fully convinced. This is the highlighted part. Fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. That's what I have faith in. I have faith in God. I don't have faith in my faith. He says, if you have faith as a grain of a mustard seed. You know, somehow we get this thing that we have faith in faith. If we can just get the formula right, if we can just say it right, if we can just, you know, do it right. I think it was Brian in the prayer meeting talking about how faithful God was. Not because he did some perfect things, because God is faithful. He's faithful. And when I'm not faithful, he remains faithful. And of course he's challenging me to be faithful. He's challenging me to be like Abraham, to trust him no matter what the circumstances. Even if your body's finished and you've been promised that you're going to be the father of generations and nations and you're a 100-year-old man and you're as good as dead, I'm going to believe God. I'm not going to believe everything that's going on around me. I'm going to believe God. I want to tell you something about God's promises. They are true and sure. What God says, you can take to the bank. What he says in his word, what he speaks to you by his Holy Spirit, when he speaks quietly into your spirit, you can trust God. And I'll say more about that later. And Abraham is my perfect example. The second one, God's timing is not ours. That's where it gets a little trickier. God is faithful. God's never late. God his timing is perfect, but his timing's not ours. He's God. And He will be the one to determine the end. And He'll be the one to determine how this thing is going to play out in your life and my life. We often say God answers prayer because because I got what I wanted. But how about if God answers prayer, but in His timing and how He chooses? And we can thank God many times for unanswered prayer. Amen? Thank God He didn't answer all our prayers the way we wanted. He answers in His time. And in His way. I love the stories in the Old Testament. I was reading about Mordecai. Maybe you've read that story, Haman and Mordecai, and the plans that Haman had to destroy his life and all that. And just that, I don't want to take the time, but just that little picture where the king couldn't sleep. Okay, king couldn't sleep. So he says, okay, bring the books and let me read. And they start reading, and they read about Mordecai and what he did, and he saved the king from this plot, and you know the whole story, so we don't need to go there. And the king's, you know, having this troubled night to sleep and lays there and listens to the story. And then he's like, so what was ever done for him? And you know the rest of the story. Just this perfect timing, a king not being able to sleep and so on. And through that, he saves Mordecai's life and he saves the nation of Israel, basically. Who could figure that stuff out? Who could figure out how God can work through any circumstance that he wants to. You know, I wrote down a whole list of things here of how God's timing is so perfect. It's not my timing, it's his timing. You know, if I name them, a water pump in Nairobi, that doesn't mean anything to you. But what that means to me is Lori and I, we drove hundreds of thousands into the millions of kilometers in Africa. You name a part of from South Africa up into Ethiopia that I haven't driven in. Every kind of road, every kind of circumstance, every kind of war zone, every kind of dirt, every kind of village, every, and all those years, 30 years, and all those kilometers, we never had trouble with our vehicle. I had a very new Land Cruiser, Toyota Land Cruiser. Should be the most reliable car I ever drove in Africa. And the water pump blew. So water pump's not one of those things that you can take a nylon and fix the cable and, you know, get some stuff on. The water pump blew. I mean, we had driven hundreds of thousands of kilometers by that time in that car. And guess where it blew? As I'm coming around the circle and the water's going, I see the temperature gauge go. And I turn left. I don't know where I'm going. And I go left at the circle. And there's the biggest Toyota factory in Nairobi, Kenya. The only one in East Africa that has a water pump for a 1982 Land Cruiser diesel. 4.2 liter, whatever it is. And I kind of coast into the front of it and stop. God's timing. I'm going to get to the point. He's like, well, if God can do that, why doesn't he just keep the water pump from breaking? I don't know all those answers. But then I wouldn't have this testimony to tell you. And I wouldn't be able to say, you know what? Only God could do that. And I got about a million of those. Now I'm exaggerating just slightly. But I got a few dozens of them, and I could have written them all down. But I didn't, just to spare you. How about our starter in our car in Zambia? We have a combi. You know those good combis where they do the, that's a Volkswagen van, the good combi. I don't know, you use that word around here? No, it's the old hippie vans, Volkswagen hippie van. And that's what we were driving, and it had the conversion package. South Africans know what I'm talking about, where they took the old Volkswagen engines out and they put in different ones and had more power. But their biggest problem was they always overheated. Anyhow, that's another story. So we have this conversion van. We're up in Zambia. I'm talking about, how far is Zambia from Pretoria? It's like 3 days driving full on, whatever. And this car stalls and it won't start. Actually just stops and it won't start again when I try to go. And it's the starter. But the trouble with this conversion package is that it's an automatic. Usually every car in South Africa almost is a standard, but this is an automatic special. So you can't push it to start it. You can't. We're sitting in the middle. It's literally feel like we're in the middle of the jungles. We weren't. It was just village and bush and nothing, dust. And so we have these couple in the back with us from Pretoria, and we're laughing. We're, what are we doing? We don't know. So they get out and they start pushing. And he's a big, heavy guy. She was no slouch either. Very strong. So we don't know what we're doing. So they're pushing. I think even Lori pushed. And we're laughing. They're sweating. And I'm like, push, push. Something's good. And because there was a bit of a downgrade. So we got it going. And then I had to push the brakes so they could catch up and jump in. And we're laughing and we're sweating. And they're diving into the car. And this car starts to coast. And it's almost stopping, but then we get a little bit more downgrade, and we go around some stuff. And guess where we ended up coasting into? Some weird little village. I never could tell you the name of it ever again. Like kilometers, though. And we coast, and we coast, and we coast, and we come around, and we pull in, and it's some little overnight garage. And guess what? They can take my starter out and replace some bushings or something, and make some stuff up and fix it. And we're just like, only God can do that stuff. And I could tell you 100 of those stories, literally 100 of those kind of stories. Just how God just, thank you. Am I sounding a little dry there, huh? Thank you. There's a blessing in heaven right there. A guide in our car in Mukumi. Ha ha. See, when I get the mic, it's more dangerous than you. In 30 years in Africa, we never, ever took a guide into a game park. Because why would you? Right? Who wants a guy driving around the back of your car telling you stuff and telling you where to drive and telling you what the rules are and stay on the road and all that stuff? Who needs that stuff? One time, we take a guide. First time in my life. I don't even know why we took him. We get about halfway through this game park, Mikumi Game Park. We're driving, we're so excited. It was this little Volkswagen or Toyota van this time. And we rip a hole in the bottom of the oil pan. And it just drains, completely drains the engine oil. And we're in the middle of lions. Honest, like really. But we have a guide. Guess who walked all the way back to some workshop that only he knew about, which we would have never known in our whole life because they hide them because it's just for the wardens and whatever someplace. And he walks and he comes back with a big truck and they pull us to the shop and they weld our oil pan and they fill us with oil and away we go. How about the Rosebud Theater last year, 2 years ago? Remember I told you I know the names of the angels? Their names are Abraham, Ephraim, Jacob, big, huge guys from the Hutterite colony down by Rosebud Theater. We're driving back. Sorry if I'm repeating. Most of you heard my good stories. And all of a sudden it just goes, and the smoke and steam and oil and whatever, it looked like the motor blew up. And there's nowhere to pull over. The ditches are very steep and it's a two-lane road and we're just flying. So I keep going and I see the heater going up and up and up. Finally, the only road I could get to is one little road. I pull over, stop, and we're sitting in the middle of farms, and it's like, okay. And this little weird truck comes driving along. This funny-looking Hutterite guy. Looks sort of like him with a hat on his head. Ah, oh, Herman, I love you, man. Use my best sermon illustrations every Sunday. So I said, is there a garage somewhere around here? He said, well, just follow me. Everybody's talking so fast. I'm like, well, I only got one chance at this thing. If I head for it, like how far is it? It was like 10 kilometers on the sign or something. I might be able to get there. So, like, what do I do? I'm trying to decide. Do I follow this guy into the fields over here or I head for a garage? He says, no, come here. So I said, okay. And I drive. We go around a couple of bushes around a corner and I drive into the biggest workshop in southern Alberta that the Hutterite colony has down there with every spare part you've ever seen. And he looks at my hoses that were blown and he goes in the shop and he cuts off the perfect size hoses, cuts it, and then he's telling me, no, but this van needs a certain kind of antifreeze. You can't just put any kind of, I'm like, put water in there. I don't care. Coffee, you put something in there. And they fix our car and we drive home. It's like God's timing. Those are silly examples, but I'm telling you, God's timing is perfect. When He decides to show up in your life, only God can do those things. I love your testimony, Linda. I remember that service walking around and I remember feeling the anointing of God saying, you know, if Jesus was here today, it's the only time I've ever walked in the aisles in my whole 7 years of this church. If Jesus was here today, what would He say to you? What would you say to Him? What would you ask Him for? What would you take hold of His garment for? His timing is perfect. We can trust Him with every detail of our life. Not just a car, not just some stuff. And I've shared 100 testimonies here of how God's provided housing for us. You guys who've come just brand new to Alberta, God gave us a home to stay, took care of us. God provides in His timing. But we have to trust Him. We cannot waver. We cannot allow the enemy to come in and rob us and kill us and cheat us. And that leads me to number three. He restores what we have lost through sin and disobedience. Stuff gets lost. We can often feel disappointment. We can often feel circumstances and people and God have robbed us. Why? We can be challenged. Like, stuff happens. But I want to be able to tell you with faith this morning. And this one of the verses that Suzanne quoted when we were praying. That's why I thought of her testimony this morning. Is that I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging for bread. He's faithful. Number four, they find our answers in Jesus, 2 Corinthians 1:20. For all the promises of God find their yes in Him. That is why it is through Him that we utter our amen to God for His glory. The answer is in Jesus. We joke about it, but the answer is always Jesus. What's the answer to your marriage? Jesus. What's the answer to your depression? Jesus. What's the answer to this church? Jesus. What's the answer when you're excited and blessed? Jesus. What's the answer for 2018? Is Jesus. His answers are always yes and amen in Him. Yes and amen. We say amen with Him. What that literally means is so be it. So be it, God, as you have planned. So be it, God, as you intend. So be it, God, your purposes and your plans. He's faithful. His answer is yes. God is for you. God is with you. God is working on your behalf, even when you don't see it, even when you don't understand it. And that leads to number five. His grace is sufficient. Because there's things and stuff going on that we don't understand. People right here this morning have battles and issues. That, you know, the reason this subject came up is in my heart is we're heading to the end of a year and the beginning of a new year. And there's stuff, and I know there's people here today that you're sitting here and God has promised you things and spoken to you things and you have felt in your spirit and in your heart. And you thought in 2017, this is going to be the year. And you're sitting here at the end of the year and you're saying, God, but what happened? And I want to challenge you and encourage you this morning that 2018 is coming and God's perfect timing is perfect. And He will fulfill what He's promised. Keep the faith. Trust Him. Believe what He said to you on the mountaintop. Even though you're down in the valley, even though you're battling right now, trust Him and what He has said. There's things we don't understand. Sometimes we may never understand them in our life. You got to hear that. Some things you may never get figured out in this life. That's okay. We're going to trust God. Some may take years. Sometimes when you look back, you think, wow, thank God He did that. In the middle of it, you know, I shared my testimony of not being sent back to Tanzania years ago and just the fight and the I could talk all morning about the pain of it in my guts, in my spirit. But now, 20 years later, it's like I can tell you how faithful God is. Thank God. I can thank God for what I went through. I can thank God for those circumstances. I can thank God that the situation turned out the way it did because God saw a huge, bigger picture than I ever could have seen. Romans 8:28 says, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. For those who are called according to His purpose. Not everything is good. Everything will work together for good. For those who are called according to His purpose. We go through stuff. We go through battles. This world is not our home. These bodies are not our friends. Trust me. Growing old is not for sissies. You young guys sitting there, you think you got problems now? No, I thank God for health. I thank God for strength. But I'm telling you, life is hard. We go through stuff. But I'm telling you, God works all things for good. He has a plan. He has a way of making the most painful circumstances in my life. I remember being rejected by the church that I thought I was faithful to. I thought I was serving God so beautifully in Africa. And I thought, I'm the cat's meow. And they said, we're not sending you back to Africa. Stuff's going on. And I remember just like, Jesus. It felt like they wanted me dead. It felt like, I don't know how to explain it. You just, the attack of the enemy, you just like your mind and your heart. And you're like, and I can look back now and I say, oh, thank you, Jesus. Everything changed. Thank you, Jesus. He loved me enough to just kind of take me out of those circumstances, take me out of what I was in. And I don't, as I said about my car and whatever, why didn't God just heal all that stuff? I don't know, but I can stand here today and testify that I have seen what only God can do. Nobody could have done it. I couldn't do it. Nobody could plan it. Nobody could fix it. Nobody could heal it. Nobody could restore it. Nobody could give me a house. Nobody could do the things that God did, but He can do it. And that's our testimony. That He worked these things out for good for our lives. I often think of John the Baptist. Sorry for taking a couple of minutes here, but John the Baptist, I love the guy. He's a wild preacher man. He's an evangelist. He's the evangelist of evangelists, standing out in the deserts, shouting with his loincloth, his furs on, and eating wild honey and locusts. It's like, he's my kind of guy. I love that guy. That's the picture I have of myself in Africa, just hallelujah, standing in Uganda in the middle of a civil war, Jesus, going to Ethiopia. And I don't know why I'm talking about Africa so much. It's all these African guys here, I think. It's inspiring me. I remember shaking my fist in the face of these crazy, crazy Ethiopians in this village. We were doing the drama Heaven's Gates and Hell's Flames, and a hurricane literally came and ripped the whole tent, a 9,000-seater tent, ripped it like it was a piece of rag, and telephone poles are floating around about as big as these beams. They're just floating in the sky, and we're like, never seen that before. It's like, whoo! So we kind of clear everything, and we get all the seats back together, and we're trying to save this drama because the stage was in the back of a big semi-trailer thing, about a 50, 60-foot trailer. And so it sort of was protected, and we kind of fixed it up to make it look like a really sad heaven and a really sad hell. And we got the pews just sitting in the dirt because the tent's gone. Like, one minute there's a 9,000-seat tent, and the next, okay, we don't need that anymore. So the next day we're getting all geared up, and they haven't had rain for 17 years. A flood comes. Honestly, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, the first day, they blew the tent away. 2 o'clock the next day, a flood comes. Pouring rain. We think, that's kind of weird. Like, we haven't seen rain, so we better go check. We drive over there, and guess where the river's going? As it's collecting, right through the pews, right past the truck. It cuts a river right through the middle. So we're testing our stage. I turn on the power, and I see this rain. Little bit of water kind of runs, and it hits the strobe light. Okay, no more strobe light. The reason I started this whole story is I'm standing in the back of this truck. It's just a mud, like mud. The chairs are wrecked, like they're sitting there, but it's just, and these kids are in the back, and they're laughing, and they're throwing these little pieces of silver, because everything was silver, you know, that mylar on the wall, and they're holding up little pieces, and they're ripping it into shreds. You know how they can do it over there in Ethiopia? They're like mocking us. And I said, is that the best you got? You liar, devil. I wasn't talking to those kids. I was talking to the devil. Is that it? Is that the best you have? We're not leaving. Guess what happened? The next day, a funny wind at around 2 o'clock. And this, you think I'm making this up. I'm playing it down. We said, we better go check. 2 o'clock, a wind took that whole semi-trailer, picked it up, and threw it over the wall of the stadium. It was a big cement wall to keep people out, and the stadium was on the other side, and blew our truck into that stadium. So I'm like, okay, maybe we aren't staying here. Maybe we'll go into it. We're trying not to do it in the church. We ended up moving into the church. We wanted to do it outside where people, because people, Orthodox and the Muslim guys didn't want to come into a Pente church. Okay, we'll go into the church. So we found this, the biggest building in that town, whatever it was. And I set up a really bad heaven and a really bad hell. Like, hell was this little weird box. And it had fans in it. And it had decorations of red Christmas paper around it. Kind of, you know, that's kind of how it was on a good day. But now it's been in the mud and it's been blown and it's... There's like two lights working, and the flames are like this little paper going. And I take a piece of red stuff, and I just stick it on the wall. And I take a piece of silver stuff, and I stick it on this wall. It's kind of like the star here. That's heaven. That's hell. Our big light system was two switches. On, off, on, off. Woo! What a beautiful thing. Thousands of people came and watched it. But the biggest problem with it was, is our director for all of reality outreach for all of the world, my boss, decides that he's coming to Ethiopia. He's coming to that drama. I wanted him to come the next week because we were in Nairobi and we were in this church of 10,000 and we actually had two services a day of 10,000 each and thousands of people at the altar and the most beautiful heaven and hell you've ever seen. That's where I wanted him to come. Where does he come? He comes to this one in Ethiopia. And the first night, we're in the church and he looks and he didn't tell me then, but he told me later when our relationship was a little stronger. He said, I thought Leonard lost his mind. And so did I. Who in the right mind would do that stuff? How did I get onto all of that? I don't know. God uses the hardest times in our life to teach us stuff. I like this saying, your hardest times often lead to your greatest moments. Have you ever found that? The hardest times lead to your greatest moments. I don't know why that works like that so many times. I don't know why God allows suffering, why one family rejoices about a pregnancy and one sits in sorrow, crying. I don't understand it, but I know God is faithful. And He answers prayer, and He is faithful to do what He has promised that He would do. A couple more and then I'll quit. He came to do what He's never done before. I don't think it's a slide up there. It's okay. God will do what He's never done before for you. He raised Lazarus from the dead. Number 7, we can have faith for 2018, even if we never saw it fulfilled in 2017. I heard this week. December is the saddest month of the year. One of the saddest months of the year. And I know it's related to unfulfillment, and it's related to family, and it's related to Christmas, and it's related to, okay, the middle of winter, and it's 47,000 below, and it's related to a lot of things. But I want to tell you something. I want to remind you that if God didn't answer in 2017, have faith for this year. Trust Him. Don't waver like Abraham. Abraham, though he's good as dead, he said, I'm going to believe God. What else can we do? Where else can we go? Who else has the words of life but God Himself? Where else are you going to go? You say, but God's just not faithful. Where are you going to go? Where am I going to go that we'll get answers, that we'll get satisfaction, that we'll get peace in our heart, that we'll get through all the difficult things that are going on in life? Instead of arguing and fighting with God, say, God, I trust You. God, help me. Help me, open my eyes. Let me see You. Let me feel Your hand. Let me feel your voice speaking to me. Let me hear You one more time. Speak to me. And I'm telling you here this morning, I feel like Moses standing on the mountain. I'm telling you what's coming is God's perfect timing. God has perfect timing for this year that's coming into your life. He will fulfill what He's promised. He will do what He says. We can hope in God. We can trust God, no matter what the circumstance, no matter what is happening, we can put our trust in Him. Was something not fulfilled in your life? Trust Him. God is true, and His promises will be fulfilled. For those who are disappointed through last year, things were difficult. Relationships that just didn't work out. Children, finances, health. I want to tell you something. The right time is coming for you. Believe God. We've heard the testimonies here this morning. They are ringing bells of God's faithfulness ringing out to us that He will provide. He will answer. It's only when there's great need that God can supply a great answer. And I have this last line here. I'm going to ask the band to come. The musicians will just sing and maybe we can pray. The trick is this. Those of us who feel God has answered, and I've had 2017 has been a very good year, health-wise, financially, church, kids, love it. I thank God for this year. But the trick is this, is we cannot just become ho-hum. My grandson was born. Mm-hmm. My baby was born. I got a job. I'm telling you, these are miracles of God in our lives. And so if you've not had a battle for 2017, I want you to rejoice this morning. And if you are going through a battle right now and you're saying, man, I expected this year to... What's coming next year? I'm telling you, rejoice. I'm telling you, trust God. I'm telling you, let's believe God for His answer, for His provision. He will make a way for you in Edmonton. When there seems to be no way. He will make a way for your family. The story's not finished yet. If I can quote Robin Brown. He's still writing it. He's still finishing it. Amen? Abraham, though he's as good as dead, he didn't waver in his faith. We know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. We know that God can answer prayer. I just mentioned John the Baptist. That's where I lost my point. John the Baptist is the most amazing, wildest evangelist, man of God, thousands getting saved. And you know his story. He ends up in prison. And he sends his disciples and he just simply says, "Are you the Christ? Or should we look somewhere else?" And Jesus tells his disciples, "Go back and tell John." I love that story. "Go back and tell John. The dead are raised. The sick are healed." That was enough for John. John never got out of prison. But God spoke to him. God was faithful to him. And I want to tell you this morning, he's faithful. Let's stand together. Let's sing. Let's pray. Let's do something. And as you end a year, you say, "Man, I wish someone would pray for me. I wish someone would just lay hands on me. I'm believing God for something good that's coming." Maybe you've been believing God for it this year and it hasn't happened. I don't know. I don't want to put words in your mouth. You say, "Man, I would love someone to pray for me today. I'd love to end this year with just trusting God, putting that thing before God. I've heard these testimonies. I've heard God's word. I'm believing God and I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to hold on." And if that's you, I'm going to invite you to come as we sing. Come and stand here. You believe in God for miracles of finance, miracles for work, miracles for health, miracles for children, miracles for whatever your circumstances are. Come and stand with us and we'll pray and someone will pray with you. Is that okay? So I open the altar. We'll take time to pray this morning and encourage one another and bless one another. In Jesus' name, amen.